The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, sitting in for John Stabmiller. I gave him a day off. Today's date is January 2nd, 2020, the new year. Joining me today is my good friend, Vincent Finelli, also a host on this network and GCN with USA Prepares. Vincent, are you there?
Bye by five. Thanks, thanks for inviting me.
We gave John the day off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Well, let me give you a little cue what happened. I get a call from my good friend here, Vincent Finelli, today, telling me he's got some information. And it actually marked it on my calendar. And now the date, January 8th, 2020, does that ring a bell? Does that mean anything to you out there? And it does to me. And then it's just so funny. I was thinking about this today, and then Vincent Finelli calls me and said, hey, I want to talk about this. We're talking about what's going on in Virginia. It appears to be the pilot state for a new gun control law confiscation, it looks like to me. Evidently, Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia is very concerned that 75 of 95 counties in Virginia are now sanctuaries protecting the Second Amendment rights. I guess they find that quite threatening. He said there's not going to be any gun confiscation, but the other corner of his mouth, he's saying bump stocks are illegal, high-capacity magazines are illegal. So it sounds like they're going to do a little door-to-door sweep here. This is very interesting because I don't know why Virginia would be the starting point for one of these programs to see if it works or not. I've always thought California was the petri dish, kind of the pilot state for everything odd and kooky, but it is a big state, and there's a lot more kooky people in California. So probably knocking on doors and saying, hand this over, is not going to work in California, but they're going to have to try it somewhere. He said there would be no retaliation, but there will be consequences, but he did not go into detail. Like I said, the date is January 8th, 2020. What's going to happen here? It doesn't appear that law enforcement is going to be involved in this confiscation. I'm going to say call it confiscation, but he's actually saying to call out the National Guard. Now, I don't know about you, the National Guard to enforce new gun legislation. I don't believe that actually is their job. I don't believe that's actually what they're actually allowed to do. I think he's breaking some rules right there off the bat by using the National Guard for something like this. But Vincent, what do you make out of all this? What do you make out of this?
Well, I think it's a very dangerous precedent. And we talked about this today on USA Prepares this morning with Dr. Richard Allen Miller. And I mentioned that this could be the precursor to the Second American Revolution. And I'm not kidding. But I'd like to give you some background as to what happened in 2013. Is it okay if we do that? Give some historical background that I had firsthand experience in.
Still.
So in August of 2013, I was on the radio on a couple networks, a GCN, and I was on a radio station in Springfield, Missouri. And I was preparing for the broadcast, and I found out that there was a House Bill 545 in the corrupt state of Missouri. And there was a sponsor of the bill by the name of Rory, R-O-R-Y, Ellinger, and a co-sponsor of a bill, Jill Shoup, from the St. Louis, Missouri area. And the bill was a pretty dangerous bill, in my opinion. House Bill 545 said, if it were passed, it would make it a Class C felony to manufacture, import, possess, purchase, sell, or transfer any assault weapon or large capacity magazine. But it went on further than that. It was shotguns with certain types of grips, magazines over 10 rounds, and what they called assault weapons, which would be AR-15s, AK-47s. Now, some people might have called those modern sporting rifles the AR-15s. And I happened to have one right next to me at the studio at that time. And I was frosted that this guy from across the state would introduce a bill that would make something that I had purchased legally years and years and years before, possibly decades before, illegal to now own. And that I would be a felon just for the simple possession of something that was legal previously. And so what I did was I called up the State House of Representatives in Missouri, Jefferson City, Missouri. Jefferson City is the capital of Missouri. And I called up and I said, hi, and I played Columbo back then, as I still do. And I said, I'm trying to get the phone number of Rory Ellinger. I don't have it. Can you help me? And the receptionist said, sure. So she gave me his cell phone number. And Jill Shoup, too. I don't have hers either. Sure. And then I went on the air in the afternoon. And I said, here's what these guys are doing. They are trying to make it illegal for something that used to be legal for you to own. And you can do three things with it. If you have one of these, or some of these, you can destroy it. You can get it out of the state, or you can turn it over without compensation to the government. Pick one. Or you will be a Class C felon if you have it in your possession. And this was absolutely positively true. And then I said, if you think that you have something to say, here are the telephone numbers of the sponsor and the co-sponsor. And they gave them out over the air for the following week, a week, nonstop. And then the next day, I heard and saw on KMOV television, St. Louis, there were the two of them. And they were complaining to the interviewer about how they were beaten up, yelled at, screamed at, cursed at by people who were calling them day and night. And they felt threatened. And they didn't know how the phone numbers were obtained. They had no idea. And they said this on the interview. Where'd they get our phone numbers? As if that's a secret, right? Well, now you know. And the bill was dead right then and there in the afternoon of the next day. That's how you do it. So here's the rest of the story. And here's what I told those who were paying attention to us in class. And I don't call people who are paying attention to what we say on the radio, I don't call them listeners. I call them our class. because I believe that they are beyond listeners. Listeners are like sports fans to me, people who watch, you know, a bunch of guys jumping on a ball. And when you're all done with that, you really haven't changed much, if anything at all. You haven't learned much, if anything at all. It's not productive, except for the guys charging you to watch the guys jumping on balls and throwing them, and catching them, and hitting them with sticks. So I said it's like this to our broadcast classroom. Imagine you have a refrigerator in your house, and you've had it for years. And then you hear on the news, you know, the ozone layer has been depleted. It's those darn refrigerants, like in refrigerators. And you will have 90 days after the enactment of this new bill into law. You'll have 90 days to get your refrigerator out of the state, destroy it, or give it to the government. Pick one. It's your private property. It was legal, and now they changed the rules. And our class was livid. And they called these guys, and I said, you know, when you get a call from the government corporation, that call will say blocked, unknown, you know, those kinds of things. You won't know who placed the call. I said, now, if you decide that you want to respond in kind, when you call them, you press *67, and that will block the ID of your call.
Right.
Just like they do. Except they kind of have a permanent blocking on their outbound calls. And I said, I suggest you be polite, you know, but ask them or tell them whatever you want. And they did, in spades. And that bill was killed. Now, how does that relate to Virginia? It's the same darn thing. It's the same thing that's happening in Virginia. You'll be a felon. And they say in Virginia that there is no grandfathering in. So if you have that shotgun that doesn't meet their specifications, if you have that pistol or revolver or AK-47 or AR-15, or if you have a 13-round magazine like the police do, or 18 rounds, or 17 rounds, or 16 rounds, you can't have it. You can't have it if this bill becomes law, or you'll be a felon. And you are subject to arrest, imprisonment, and of course the torture that goes with that. So it's incumbent upon every one of you to pay attention to this.
It is.
Now, how do you defeat this? I've got some thoughts, but Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, I guess the government doesn't quite understand when they come up with this new legislation. I have a problem with the legislation that tax legal, law-abiding citizens. I always have. And you and I are both legal. We have no criminal records. We're law-abiding. We have the right to have our firearms to protect ourselves. And then we see these people stepping in and kind of a generalization. Basically, if somebody, there's been a rash of mass shootings lately. And there's a generalization that, well, we just have to round them all up. We just can't trust anybody. Of course, we know how that works, that the criminals keep theirs, and of course you hand yours over. And that's not going to happen in America. And when I talked to you about this today, I said, you know, if in January 8th, if this happens, the governor actually calls out the National Guard, there's going to be blood on the ground. And I hate to see that. I don't want to see that at all. But this is a right you have, your Second Amendment rights. We need to stand by these. But what I was going to ask you, Vincent, I guess I don't believe the government understands that when they do these restrictions or these confiscations, like the high capacity magazine, I don't really think of 30 rounds, anything over 10, 30 rounds as a high capacity magazine. I really don't. Bump stocks, all these certain things that they want to take away and say you can't have them any longer. You have them now, you've been law abiding, but you know what? We're going to come and take them anyway. I guess they don't quite understand by doing that, they actually create a black market. So, you know, if this is the new legislation now and manufacturing is no longer allowed to produce 30-round magazines, bump stocks and certain things, it's certainly going to come into this country. If there's a demand, there's always a supplier. And I guess the government is so ignorant not to understand you've just created a black market. When you ban these things, you've created a black market. Would you agree?
There's no question about it. Barry was one of the premier gun sales persons in history. You know, when he took over as CEO of USA Corporation, people were really terrified. So they bought all kinds of tools to protect themselves, including, but not limited to, rifles, pistols, shotguns, and revolvers. Now, the question I have for our class, and please excuse me for calling it our class, because that's what it is to me. To me, we're just not a couple of guys talking. No. We are trying to teach a class, and that's why I refer to it that way. But here's my question for the class. Are you willing to protect yourself, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents? Are you willing to do that? And if the answer is yes, and the next question is, are you willing to fight to the death if it comes to that, if it's you versus them, and you're in the right and they're in the wrong? Okay, make those assumptions. Are you willing to fight to the death? And if the answer is yes to that, do you have the tools to defend yourself? Do you? And if you don't, why not? And if you don't, when are you going to get them? Are you going to wait till it's, you know, the doors are closed? Or are you going to get them soon? Now, I saw this coming decades ago. It was clear as could be that there was going to be first registration, then confiscation. It's happened in Europe. Do you think they have guns in London? Do they have guns in, I'm talking about they, meaning we, the bottom 93%? Are there guns in New York City? Are there guns in Australia? The answer is, hardly. So those people are relegated to slingshots and sticks and stones and, you know, golf clubs. While the other team has howitzers and mortars and drones and aircraft and atomic weapons. Howitzers. Nuclear weapons. Hardly a fair fight.
I agree.
But we outnumber them. Now, I'm not advocating an armed insurrection. I'm not advocating a civil war. I'm not advocating a revolution. But I am saying, hands off the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yep. Agree.
We've got a caller.
Oh, let's do it. John in Rancho Cucamonga, you're on the show.
Yeah, hello there, Steve. Hello, Vince. I apologize. I missed the first few minutes of your show, so I hope you'll forgive me if you've already covered this. But this is a classic example of what's known as an ex post facto law. And they're banned by the U.S. Constitution in two different places. One to prohibit the U.S. Congress from passing ex post facto laws, and also another place in the U.S. Constitution where it prohibits all state legislatures from passing ex post facto laws. And also, in addition, in California, there is, in plain English, that no ex post facto laws will be passed. So, and I don't know what it says in the state of Virginia, which is the classic thing that's going on right now, but it seems to me that someone who knows the law a lot better than I do would be able to make a case that when you ban something that has always been legal after we've already invested in it for years and years, that should be a classic case, but I have not covered any research case law.
Hey, John, I hear the music. I want to hold you over because that's a great thought, and we'll come right back to your questions and your comments. This is the National Intel Report, back after this short commercial break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
And we go back to the phones. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Vincent Finelli sitting in for John Stadmiller today. And John, before I let you go on again, I just want to, you make some great points here, which also brings to mind the new legislation that just was signed a couple of days ago by Donald Trump, 18 to 21 to smoke cigarettes. And I'm not a big defender or advocate of smoking. It's a very bad habit to get into. But I figure if you can join the military service and defend your country, fight for this nation, or vote for the President of the United States, then I think you're adult enough to make a decision for yourself. But there's one of those laws, again, we've decided to change the rules as we go along here. And I have a problem with that. Also, like we talked before, that the Pentagon is now considering taking 16-year-olds into the military, which makes me believe that we have more wars planned for the future. So go ahead and finish up there, John.
Well, I would agree with you on the last points you were making too, Steve. I came of age during the Vietnam conflict. Notice I did not say war. It was not declared a war by the U.S. Congress. And at that time, all it was conscription, called a draft. And so you had to show up, or if you didn't show up and you were drafted, you'd be in court and you'd probably go to jail. and the classic cases of Muhammad Ali, but now in this day and age, when there is no draft and it's just young dumb kids who are signing up because they believe all the lies being told by the federal government that they're going to be defending my rights and your rights in some country 8,000 to 10,000 miles away from us, that's of no, the people of whom are no threat to us, the government of whom is no threat to us. Saddam Hussein did not have a 600-ship navy. He could not sail it across the Atlantic Ocean and shell the eastern seaboard of the United States. He was no threat. So if they volunteer for that, well, you know, then you can't really say logically completely that they should be allowed to smoke cigarettes if there's a law against cigarettes.
John, a quick comment. I happened to be at the Chinese factory outlet this afternoon, and there was a man there about my age, about 68. Maybe he was a couple of years older. He had a Vietnam veteran hat on. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, mind if I chat with you for a couple minutes?" And we talked. And during the chat, I said, "I've got a question for you. My draft number was 211. Do you know why we were there?" He said, "I have no clue." Okay. So then another guy came up and interrupted us. And he put out his hand, shook my newest friend's hand, and said, "Thank you. Welcome home." And so another veteran. Okay. And so the three of us were chatting for a while. And I said to the newest guy, "Do you know why we were there?" "No clue. No clue." So these guys were in combat. One was firing mortars. Both of them were under siege, and yet they have no idea to this day, and they're in their late 60s while we were there. Right. And I even interviewed a guy by the name of General Vallely. He was in the investigation for the Benghazi scandal with Hillary Clinton. And I asked him on the air why we were there. He didn't know either. So those are my comments.
Great points, Vince. I've studied enough of these wars, the history of the wars. First thing I did earlier this century, but it makes me sound even older, is that I tried to figure out what was going on in Vietnam, and I came to the same conclusions that you have and probably anyone who's taken the time and the effort to try to find out what went on. If I can figure out, after all these years, you know, it's been more than 43 years since the fall of Saigon, you know, I really don't have much respect for anyone that wears that Vietnam veteran decal or plaque or embroidered on their windbreaker or on their baseball cap, because there's really nothing to be proud of. Why don't they just wear a sign on their back that says, "Kick me, I'm stupid"? You know, that's just the way I feel about it. My number in the lottery was 211, and I distinctly recall when Richard Nixon in September of 1970 announced that they'd gone up to number 190, and in order the last 3 months of the year they would have enough people if they just drew five more numbers, so they went up to 195. I remember getting down on my knees and thanking God for I missed it by 11 numbers. You know, they were taking 20 and 30 numbers a month, and from January to about May. You know, so,
John, you were born in November?
47.
Okay.
1947. Okay. Yeah.
Well, one of the guys I talked to today, I asked him what his draft number was. He said, "I was conscripted." He had no choice.
Oh yeah, well that could have been, but the 1969 was the very first lottery.
Right.
So if he got it in, you know, 65 or 66 or something like that,
that's when
there was a draft.
Right. He had
that was
no
a big
choice.
Deal with Muhammad. Yeah, with Muhammad Ali.
Hey, we're going into a break.
Yeah. Hey, John. I thank you for your call. Got a couple more calls backed up here.
Thank
so
you, gentlemen.
You go.
Have a good second day of the new year. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. This is the National Intel Report.
What goes up must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Busted.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted. Busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it's all right.
And we are back. We're going to go right back to the phones here. David in Illinois, you're on the show.
How you doing?
David, are you there?
Hey, David.
Yeah, I'm here. You got me?
Okay. Yeah, we got you.
You're yeah. We got you.
I've been monitoring this.
David?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Let me just tell the class who you are. David in Illinois is one of our instructors at USA Prepares. Thank you for calling in, David.
I've been monitoring this Virginia situation ever since it started on a daily basis. There's a lot more that people need to be aware of. But before, can I answer your question about whether or not, about defending your own home and what happened, you know, how I got to that point really quick?
Sure.
I was taught to analyze homicide case files starting at 7 years old. My first, I call it baptism of fire. The first two case files I seen were homicides of families. Now, they would have one of them that survived. They cooperated. Every one of these case files that was a stack, probably 8 inches tall, they all cooperated. They were lucky. Even children, horrible things were done in these photographs, in these case files. I told myself back then, I would never allow that to happen to a family of mine. Never. And they cooperated.
David, what I'm hearing you say is that when you say they cooperated, you mean the victims, the family,
yes, sir,
cooperated with, okay, with whomever was attacking them, and it didn't work out too well.
No, what they did to the first file I looked there, I was, you know, shown and asked questions of my opinions about it, and the youngest girl was 7, the oldest girl was 9. The mother and the father was the only one that survived. He said, look, we cooperated like everyone was telling us to. Look what they did to my family. What they did to those kids were terrible. It was terrible. Just as a burglar. So
what
let
do you
people
recommend?
Open their eyes
what
to
you
that.
Recommend?
You know, if they come into my house, once they're in my house, I don't care if I turn my house into Swiss cheese. I am going to do whatever I need to do to make sure that doesn't happen to anyone in my house. Never.
David, let me say this to our class who may not know of your situation. You were the son, are the son, of a now-deceased corrupt police officer in the Chicago area. And you were a potential victim of the mass murderer John Wayne Gacy, and you escaped his clutches. Would you say that's correct?
Oh, yes. Now, he was in different departments all the way up into the higher federal departments as well. So
you're talking about your father. Just wanted to make sure our class has an understanding that you are talking about someone who has been in the family of a police person and has had access to riding around in the patrol car, being at the scene of crimes, and hearing the back chatter and the talk on the radio in person with the police.
Yes, I learned to accept bodies in serious injuries. To me, it was a common thing. I had no, even to this day, people wonder how come I have no emotions on that situation. I just learned to, the first time I was with them was a year and a half they hit me with them. We're not talking about just here and there. And I was only 7 when that happened, when that started. But now, the Virginia, and the Gacy thing, I wasn't alone either. That was to know that we were probably standing right next to bags of bodies and the things we found, but they wouldn't let us discuss it. So anyways, the Virginia thing is getting so bad. It's getting bad on a daily basis where the sheriff that I seen interviewing that started the whole situation, he said there's a clause in their constitution where the counties can ignore those type of laws that are passed. And it's got to the point now where when this governor takes office and he does this, he's going to call them domestic terrorists. He said he's going to fire. How do you fire a sheriff? They're elected. First of all, I don't get that. And if he deputizes, now there's so many of them that's supporting and are doing this, there's thousands of people showing up at these rallies. But now, you know, the actual individual that's in charge of the military, he released a statement. They read it online. He's just he's not taking a stand. He said, I'm not going to touch this until we'll deal with it when this happens. But what's interesting to me is what I've seen in the past is this guy that's going to take over the mayor, and when they sign these laws, he told the people that are upper politics and that are going to support him, the police that are going to back them, their families don't need to turn in the guns. They're exempt, like normal. But everybody else, they said they're going to go county by county. The last statement was they're going to go county by county, quarantine these counties off, go car to car, house to house. And so they're supposed to have a rally in January 20th. And there's people going all, you know, planning on going there from all over the United States to support. They're asking for people to stay calm, but it's only going to take one shot, I feel. There's that much tension there.
There are 95 counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia. 86 of them currently have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And it looks, from what I've read, there is no escape for the bottom 93%. I mean, us. There's no escape if you live in the Commonwealth of Virginia, also known as the state of Virginia. There's no escape if you are not the other part of the the top 7%. You will be subject to prosecution and arrest and prison if you do not comply. Same kind of thing that was here in Missouri, and this is really, really serious, because if this happens in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the states can go down like dominoes.
Yeah, now, Virginia's not the only state that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, I lived in Virginia for almost 2 decades, and we had a farm. All of our neighbors had guns. All of their neighbors had guns. All of the neighbors had lots of guns. Lots of people hunted. And what I'm seeing is that the counties, you can look up, you can go to the internet and look up Second Amendment, VA for Virginia, and you'll see a list of articles and links. And so who is not a sanctuary area? I'll just tell you. There's some cities in Virginia. Alexandria. That's right near Washington, D.C. Charlottesville, Danville, Emporia, Fairfax. That is a bedroom community, bedroom village of Washington, D.C. Falls Church, Fredericksburg, a bedroom village of Washington, D.C. Hampton. There's a naval base right next to Hampton, Harrisonburg, Hopewell, Lexington, Manassas Park, Newport News, Petersburg, Portsmouth, Richmond. Richmond is not part of the sanctuary for the Second Amendment. Suffolk and Williamsburg. What counties are not part of it? Arlington, Clark, and Fairfax. Pretty much the rest of the Commonwealth of Virginia has become a sanctuary. So what's happening is it's the high-density people who live in cities, want your guns. Or the government representatives want your guns from those cities. That's how I interpret this.
Right. Oh, right. And I think they pretty much move people out and bust them in so they can control the election. And that's what they're doing everywhere. They're Texas, all over the place. But here, when people think it's just the so-called black or assault weapons they're talking about, one of these laws that they were trying to pass in, they said any firearm that could hold a magazine that can accept more than one round. Have you ever seen a magazine that can only accept one round? That's ridiculous. Any
no
single
such,
shot weapon.
There's no such thing. There is no
exactly.
such thing,
any
David.
Single,
there's no such thing.
I agree.
It's not possible.
I agree.
Single chamber.
Any single shot weapon that could be fired more than three rounds in 1 minute. In good training, you do that with a black powder. You're kidding me. You know, I mean,
David, we're gonna. So I'm sorry, we're gonna have to move on. But I'll tell you what, I'm gonna be on tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. We've got other calls backing up. We've got three calls backing up here. Hey, David, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Give me a call tomorrow, David.
Texas, Melissa, you're on the show.
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing?
Melissa, are you there? Yes, doing great, Melissa.
Oh, good.
I hear you fine. What's on your mind?
Okay. I want to tie this all together. My comment is on, are you familiar with the Botham John case in the city of Dallas?
I am not. Clue us in, please.
This happened in September 6, 2018. Botham John was a student from St. Lucia. He came home, or he was in his apartment home in the same building that an off-duty cop named Amber Geiger
also
lived
in.
Okay,
yes, the female officer. Yes, I do know that.
Correct. Okay, I just saw in the paper a few days ago that the city of Dallas has been, by a federal judge named Barbara Lynn, dismissed from the wrongful death suit. She has been sentenced to 10 years for killing this man. She was working for the city of Dallas, and the city of Dallas has been dismissed from that wrongful death lawsuit. So we are being approached and encircled in many more ways than just a head-on assault on weapons. I heard Vincent's show with Gwyneth on Wednesday, and they were discussing the story of a four-year-old girl who was run over by a cop who decided to park on the sidewalk near a school. And for some reason, they're not held accountable. They never get held accountable, and they're working feverishly to make sure that laws are changed so that they are never held accountable.
Melissa, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you have a tool to defend yourself?
No, I don't.
Okay. Next question. If you are in a situation where your life is threatened, and if you have a spouse, if your spouse is threatened, or if you have children and their lives are threatened, or your parents, if they're alive, if their lives are threatened, will you defend them? And will you defend yourself?
In a heartbeat.
Okay, you need to get the tools to defend yourself and the consumables that go with that tool. So if it's a shotgun, you need it, and you need to train with it, and you need to have some advice and counsel as to what to buy. And as a matter of fact, if you want to tune in tomorrow, one of our instructors, George, may join me. Kyle in Montana might, and David in Illinois will probably be on, and we'll teach you how on the radio between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Time. You can just look up my name. You'll find us on GCN, and we'll help you. Please call
okay.
in. But I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this. My wife was attacked. Mrs. Finelli was attacked in the 1980s by a person who worked in the same team. My wife was the boss. And this black woman attacked her from behind and literally hurt my wife, unprovoked. And because she was black, she got away with it. And so what I did, I'm white and so is Mrs. Finelli. And what I did was I took Mrs. Finelli out and we bought her a 357 Magnum. And we went blinking with it. And then we brought in the target and she put it on her wall with holes in the target. And do you know what? Nobody bothered her again. Mrs. Finelli carries a 357 to this day.
That's very inspirational. Thank you.
Well, and I'm going to tell you why. There was a time when she would say to me, you've seen Dirty Harry, right? He carried a 44 Magnum. Well, you can get the same size pistol in its little brother, the 357 Magnum. It's deadly. And so Mrs. Finelli would say to me, why do I have to carry a gun? You've got one. And my response is, you may have to shoot the guy putting his gun on me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I just want to give you, I know we have to go, we've got calls lined up, but let me just say this. If you decide to carry one, you need to carry it on your person. It needs to be on you. And I suggest that if you can, put it between, like if you're wearing blue jeans, between your shirt and the inside of your pants with a belt that won't let it fall down. I'm actually suggesting you consider no holster. Okay? If what you choose to carry fits that way. If it doesn't, then you need a holster. You do not put it in your pocketbook. You don't put it in your glove compartment. You don't put it in a lockbox. You don't put it in the safety deposit box at the bank. And you don't put it in a safe when you need it. Okay? If you think you're going to need it, it needs to be on you. I ride around our farm with a 45 on my side.
Mm-hmm.
I just came back from Walmart. I had a rider jacket on, you know, blue jean rider jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And my gun. Because I'm not going to trust the cops who, I don't know where they are. I'm not going to trust them to defend me. And they're too heavy to carry. So I'm going to defend me. And my wife. And my family. And I've made that decision. I don't want to go plinking and killing people. But if my life or my family's life is threatened, you bet. Game on. I'm not going to start it. I hope to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Melissa, please. Think about it carefully, and if you really believe that you're going to take care of your family, then get prepared now. And you can go to a gun show, and Steve can talk about this when we have time after some calls. He went to a gun show, and he saw what it's like. You can pick up and feel and try and hold 1,000 guns. And you can talk to a whole bunch of people. Don't buy the first, second, third, fifth one you see. Talk to a whole bunch of people. Bring someone you trust, someone who knows about guns and shooting and calibers and capacities and accuracy and durability, and only buy a brand name. But you can buy one from a guy or a gal who's selling it privately in most states. It's personal property. So if some guy's walking around or gal and they have one for sale, you can say, wow, is that for sale? You bet. May I see it? Sure. How much is it? 500. Really? Okay. We take 450? Sure. Peel out 450. The gun's yours. But you might want to say, hey, I'm from Missouri. I guess you're from Missouri, right? Right. I'm not a felon, are you? Nope. Okay, good. Legal transaction. It's as simple as that. Not all states. You can't do it in New York City. You can't do it in, you know, some locations. But, you know, read your laws in your location. But in most places in the United States, it's still legal to buy privately. No registration required. None. Seriously. Did that help, Melissa?
A lot. Thank you for the tips.
Go do it. You bet. Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, Vincent. I just got kicked out and got back in, so...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Michael.
I thought I was taking too much time.
No, I don't know what happened here. I just got back with Michael. I think I'm back on now again.
Okay.
No, not yet.
Tom in Florida.
I'm going to do it by the phone. And then you can see the actual callers calling in, so I'm going to have you take over for the calls right now because I can't see them.
Boy, we must be on a topic they don't want us to talk about. Tom in Florida, welcome. You're on with Steve Elkins and me.
Yeah, hey, Steve Vince. Listen, that lady, Melissa, I think I recommend for her to start off with a 32 to get wad cutter rounds, or she get Magnum 32 police special. That's a light little pistol. Get a snub nose 32. Very good little piece to have for a woman to start off. You want to go 37, that's a little bigger. You go up to 32.
Oh, well, yeah, I agree. Let me just say this, Tom in Florida. That's the minimum essential is what you're talking about. I would recommend that you get a five shot 38 special ammunition's a little less expensive. Yep. And they really work nicely, but only get a brand name.
And she's also able to shoot 357 out of that 38 special, too.
Well, some of them, not all of them.
Oh, mine does.
I would agree with you, gentlemen. That's a good round, but I'm telling you, 32 is not bad for a woman because a 32 revolver or whatever you get is 32 is a very good, powerful little piece if you put the right round in there. And if you get a wad cutter, that's it's got a little kick. That's why the police use them for a long, long time, the 32. But anyway, right. I call for that.
Tom. What did you call?
You're talking about the crime rate. Matter of fact, it just had Baltimore just broke its record for homicide. Kansas City's off the charts. Detroit, all these cities that are run by these Democrat mayors and these Democratic Party people, they're in chaos. It's utter chaos with these Democrats running these black communities in these cities. It's off the charts. Miami's having a big problem. Broward County's having a big problem. Jacksonville. I mean, it's Steve Elkin knows Jacksonville has a problem with homicide.
Oh, terrible. Terrible now. Yeah.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Chicago. Matter of fact, they just had 5 murders in St. Louis. The year just started.
Yeah.
It's already been 5. I think it's up to 7 now. I think they get. I know I saw 5. Is this going to, you know what? This is continually happening. We're not even talking about the gangs, MS-13. We're not even talking about gangs that are in here committing all these murders. What the? And these people, these white, liberal, licky-touchy-feelies are voting Democrat?
Yeah.
I mean, the college campuses have brainwashed these white millennials to the point of, I think, almost no return because they're so liberalized. They embrace, they're totally against the biblical aspect of the Bible, okay? But, you know, I find it very funny what's going on in New York. What's the name of the town where the Orthodox Jews live there? Money, or New York? Steve, is that it, Money?
Not sure. Are you talking about where the rabbi got stabbed, that whole thing this last weekend?
Yeah,
what you're talking about?
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, I can't tell you where it was.
Tom, I've got a question for you.
New York, whatever.
Tom, I've got a question for you. I'm going to cut right to the chase. Are you armed? Are you armed?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Yeah, Tom, are you armed?
Am I armed?
Yeah.
That's like asking, does a bear like honey?
Okay. Okay. All right. And do you have a significant do you have a wife or girlfriend?
Can I ask you a question real quick? You asked if I want. Didn't Joe Biden go out and tell every American to go buy a double barrel shotgun, put double wide buck in it, and everybody American should saw that he could even saw the thing off?
I don't know.
Everyone of my friends owns a double barrel shotgun.
I don't know if he said double barrel shotgun or pump
Joe
shotgun.
Biden. Joe Biden's on record saying that.
Tom, hold on.
I do know that Joe Biden said, "You want to defend yourself? Go get a shotgun." And he was alluding to someone gives you a hard time, plink at him with a shotgun, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Now, what's the defense going to be? Well, Jumpin' Joe, the plagiarist, told me to do that. It's not going to work. So my question for you is, do you have a woman in your life, and is that woman trained and armed, and will that woman protect you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
She'd
prefer to use a knife?
I know what you're saying.
No, well, the reason I'm asking is we are getting to the... Tom, we can only one of us talk at a time. Maybe we have a delay, and that's why we're stepping on each other. But... The point of my question is, I think this is getting so dangerous that we are going to have to be a family, and we're going to have to protect each other in our own families. And that's why I've been asking these questions.
Right.
My family's ready and has been for years. And I'd like to suggest that some of you who like guns and who are experienced with them, get involved with the parents of the young people over six years old, and work with them so they know about gun safety, what guns can do, the damage they can do, how to respect them, and learn how to use them. Because I think we're getting closer and closer to the second American Revolution.
Well, listen, you don't have an argument on me on that. I've talked to Steve many times. I don't really ever talk to you much, but I totally agree with that. I mean, I don't know if it's going to turn out to like the Turner Diaries, but I agree that we're on the verge, especially if the Democrats get in power. I think we are definitely on the verge of an all-out civil war. And I'm telling because, look, you have states right now. I don't know if you had a chance to see on the news today on C-SPAN. They had this organization calling Zocalo. And they're talking about how they're basically going to flood the country with all these illegals. And it doesn't mean this from Mexico. It means from Africa, from China. They're going to flood this country to the point where the Anglos are definitely in the minority, and they're going to go after your guns. There's no question about that. And if the Democrats get in power, we're looking at that.
Tom, I'm a nuts and bolts guy. So I'm just trying to get right to the chase. Here's the question. Here's what you do. And let's get on it right away. Tom, thanks so much. We're going into a break. Gary, you're up next.
Tom. Yep.
Oh, I guess Gary's
gone. Second hour's coming up here. Actually, Gary hung up. Hopefully he'll call back. Gary in Arkansas, call back. Second hour coming up. This is the National Intel Report.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.